This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a podcast of Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9, Australia's only LGBTI program focused on the horror and sci-fi community.
Are you prepared for the zombie apocalypse? In case of emergency, break glass and tune in to Joy 94.9 on a Tuesday night for Sci-Fi and Scream.
Scars we carry, carry with memories, memories burnt by the dark. Try to see clearly, tears we bury, bury in vain, cause the pain got us falling apart. Try to see clearly. Fires out of guns. We keep it in our hearts. We're like a thousand suns. Ooh, yeah, every day, step by step, we dare to love again. And if we lose our grip, meet you at.
Welcome to Sci-Fi and Scream here on Joy 94.9. Thank you once again. The inside story from inside the Sound Museum tonight. That was great. It's so different having them on air before Sci-Fi and Scream, but there you go. That's part of the new grid, and April is here, and for some, winter is coming. For others, it's almost springtime. Depends if you live in the north or the south, wherever you are. And of course, big thanks to those guys. And heading into Sci-Fi and Scream's hour, What have we got? We have got, we'll listen to Tove Lo, Scars, from the new Divergent film, number three, but it's part one of number three, Allegiant. Or it's also known as the Divergent series Allegiant, or simply Allegiant, the 2016 American sci-fi adventure film by director Robert Schwentke and screenplay by Stephen Chbosky. Very interesting, based on the books. It's the final book of the Divergent trilogy by Veronica Roth, the young adult series, I suppose you call it YA, the YA fiction fantasy sci-fi. And, of course, it stars the amazing Shailene Woodley, Teo James, and they've teamed up before in previous episodes, I was going to say, in previous films, but they are a bit like a long-winded kind of series and such. Miles Teller appears in there, Ansel Elgort, and the wonderful Zoe Kravitz and Maggie Q, Ray Stevenson, and a very smashing-looking and tall Bill Skarsgård. Yes, of the Skarsgård clan. In the background, you can hear a bit of the Divergent, Allegiant soundtrack from the Divergent series. What's it all about? Well, we'll have a little bit of chat about that later on in the show, very soon. But pretty much all the cast that I read out there, they're what one would say the up-and-coming American breed. Post-Christian Stewart, post-Robert Pattinson. It is YA, but where is YA going? Yay or nay? How are the films going compared to the books and the stories? Do you have an opinion? Let me know. Things are strange out there in the moment when it comes to the genre of supernatural and sci-fi for young adult fiction, which all of us oldies and grown-ups watch very, you know, obsessively in some ways. And I've read The Hunger Games, of course, and this is very reminiscent of that. But maybe it's just the whole vein, the whole subgenre of what it is that makes it so familiar, one or the other. Or is it something else? We can chat about that. Let us know what you think. 0427JOY949. Or you can email us on air at joy.org.au or tweet us at Queer Geeks of Oz. Yes, we're on the Twitterverse. Also on Facebook, Sci-Fi and Squeam. You can send me a message and post it there. But make sure it's a nice message. Don't like those nasty ones. They're boring. What else have we got coming up for Sci-Fi and Squeam tonight? It's just me, myself and I. And a couple of interviews I'll play because we are diverging, excuse the pun, from what we normally do here in Sci-Fi and Squeam. We're actually looking a bit more at the comedy because it's all about the comedy in Melbourne town. It's an international town of mystery, after all. It's the 30th Comedy Festival. That's the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. It's been running since the 23rd of March and runs up to the 17th of April. 3 weeks of just mountains of laughs. And I was lucky enough to speak to one very funny lady, diminutive, little person as such is the correct term, but Tanya Lee Davis. So we're chatting to her a bit louder. She was a bit loud, but that's in a good way. It's called Actual Size, and that's the stand-up that she's doing. Part of her comedy. We'll also have a little chat with Nina Conti, the one and only. I really much fangirled over that, of course. She's got In Your Face. That's the name of her show for the Melbourne Comedy Fest. But like I said, look, I know it's not particularly genre that you're used to if you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam, but I thought I'd do something a bit different. And besides, like I said, I just fangirled over these two, and I was really lucky to speak to both of them. So we'll talk to the one and only famous Nina Conti ventriloquist later, as well as Tanya Lee. And good night, Mummy. No, it's not good night yet from us. Well, not yet. But it is Ixi Ixi. Good night, Mummy's translation from the Austrian. It's the 2014 Austrian horror film that had to be made. It's written and directed by Veronica Franz and Severin Fiala. Selected, believe it or not, amazing, selected for the Austrian entry as the best foreign language film at this year's Academy Awards. Yes. How about that? That's pretty special. So I'll be doing a little chat, a review about that as well. So a little bit of tasty morsels here and there tonight on Sci-Fi and Squeam. Like I said, we're being a bit divergent tonight. Maybe I'll call the show that, Divergent. Well, let's see. Who knows what might happen next. Good night, Mummy. We hope to talk to the directors, Veronica and Severin, in the next couple of days, and I'll podcast that interview when it's up and running. It is rather twisted, but that's what you could expect. It's kind of body horror. It's kind of mystery. Don't want to give too much away, but do expect a spoiler or two in the next hour, or actually less than an hour now, as we talk about Allegiant, which starts this Thursday on the 14th. And we talk Goodnight Mummy, which is out on video. Sadly, it didn't get a wide release. Should have, as far as I'm concerned. But hey, there you go. This is Sci-Fi and Squeam here on Joy 94.9. Like I said, if you've got a message, if you've got any opinions about young adult fiction and the sci-fi genre, let me know. 0427-JOY-949 or on air at joy.org.au. And let me know sort of the sort of thing that you're interested in. And if you think Twilight, it just went too far. Because now we have the plethora of all these films. And some aren't even being made into the second or third. And we're looking at books that go five or six volumes in some cases. So far, the ones that have survived are Hunger Games, of course, Twilight at the beginning, and now the Divergent series. Maze Runner seems to be surviving okay. But other ones, and you know the ones I mean, sort of have vanished into thin air. It does happen. All right. Hang around with us. You're on Joy.
This is Dante Bosco, the one-time leader of the Lost Boys and the Prince of the Fire Nation, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
Hi, this is Gail Simone, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
Nano, nano.
This is Sonia for Joy 94.9, and it is the season of laughs and hilarity here in Melbourne town. It's upon us. It's the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, and there are so many amazing, funny people in town, but one in particular that's a real standout, and she's here in the studio with us today, which is marvellous. We have Tanya Lee Davis. Welcome.
Hello, everybody.
Hey. Yes, Tanya Lee is a comedian. Very amazing, and what a career, but we'll be talking about that very soon. Okay, Tanya Lee, your show's called Actual Size, and is this the first time you've brought it to Australia, to Melbourne?
Yeah, I've been here before. I was here in 2001, and the show, I was brought over that time by a comedy duo here in Australia called Miss Itchy.
Oh,
and
okay.
They brought me over, and the show was called Miss Itchy Presents a Damn Midget. So because it was quite controversial, we got quite a bit of press on that. But back then, I mean, that was 15 years ago, and I just, you know, I'd been doing stand-up for nearly 10 years, but I didn't really have a solid show to put together, so we kind of, you know, padded it out a bit. But now I'm a seasoned 26 and a half years in comedy professional, so doing a 50-minute set is not a problem whatsoever. So, yeah, my show's Actual Size, just because we were trying to think of a marketing angle, and the posters that I had in Edinburgh in Scotland this summer, my posters were actually 3'6".
Wow.
So the posters were actual size. And, yeah, so great marketing angle.
Did they come up with that themselves, or?
Oh, I did, actually.
Yeah.
Cool. I just thought, well, it was a sort of a last-minute thing, me signing up with the festival last August, and so I needed something. I wasn't in the brochure, and I wasn't in a lot of the major press, so I needed something that people would go, oh, my gosh, what's that? And there I am, you know, massive posters. Except people kept stealing them.
Oh.
Yeah, and
well,
I just figured it was probably
flattery.
Drunk guys,
oh.
You know, taking them and doing obscene things to my posters, I'm sure.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, any form of, you know, popularity is apparently it's all marketing's good marketing.
Yeah. So it didn't affect
even
my numbers,
so
that's
be,
good.
But...
Yeah.
Okay, so yes, Canadian. Wow.
Yep, I grew up in Canada and in the middle of the country in the prairies, and then I moved out to Western Canada, and then I moved to Los Angeles in 1997.
Mm.
So I've been living in the States for a good majority of that time, and I currently live on the East Coast in North Carolina. Very redneck, very conservative. I'm not. but luckily, for the last 13 years, I've been touring in the UK.
Mm.
So I'm in the UK every other month, so I get to go to a more civilized part of the world than
yes.
the redneck.
North Carolina is now infamous at
yeah.
the moment, isn't it? It's
yeah.
pretty bad with the anti-LGBTIQ bill.
Yeah.
That's
it's,
like, wow.
Yeah, that's why we're moving to England in August. I gotta get out of there. I can't handle all the political drama and all the,
yeah.
just, yeah, their lack of sensibility.
Yeah. So, when you're performing there, I mean, is it something that you feel is internalized, or is it just the politicians? It's just a minority that's very vocal, or
well, I mean, when I'm performing in a comedy club, and I really don't perform there that often
mm-hmm.
because I've been out of the scene in the U.S. That because I've been out of the scene for so long, I just don't get booked,
yeah.
Which is quite frustrating. However, I mean, the people that go to comedy clubs typically are a little bit more open-minded,
mm-hmm.
but in general, like this sort of the Republican conservative feel is still umbrellaed over that whole, region, essentially, because, I mean, even my partner, who's born and raised in a small town, you know, his views are a lot more conservative in some regards. I mean, he's totally fine with LGBT, the whole thing, because
yep.
I've got a lot of gay friends, and it's a package deal, baby. So, but, you know, yeah, it's just in general, and the religious overtones and just everything that I'm just
yeah.
not.
So it's just frustrating.
Yeah.
And it's been a lot in the news lately. So, yeah, that's interesting. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. Now, of course, your show is running, it's already started, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Up to the 17th of April,
mm-hmm.
up at the Upstairs Lounge and Little Sister. How's it been going so far?
Yeah, great. I mean, I think with Easter starting off the
yeah.
first weekend, I think for a lot of shows we're hurting as far as attendance. And then now it's just we're really starting to, pick up steam. And I'm hoping now for the final 2 weeks it'll be pretty solid. I had some bizarre audiences, though.
Yeah.
One night, I was wondering who was doing my marketing. One night, I think probably the youngest person was 50, and it went up to about 75. Which, I mean, typically older people, I get a little bit worried because I'm a bit of a potty mouth.
Yeah.
And I get a lot of sexual content at my show. But I figure, oh, they've been there, they've done it, they've lived through the 60s.
Yeah, surely.
You know, they've done worse things than we've done. And they were great. Shrugged the shoulders, like, meh. And then on Sunday night, I had 9 children from the age of 7 to 14.
Mm.
And I was like, what?
Oh.
And they walked in and they wanted to sit in the front. And I was like, no.
Yes, because you're on the website,
plus.
It says, well, 16 plus.
Oh, 16
yeah.
plus. Yeah, so...
Something went on there.
Yeah, well, apparently, they were friends of somebody.
Oh.
They were told that it was an adult show, but so when the kids came in, I was like, oh, my God, sit in the third row. And then the dad came and said, no, kids, everybody sit up front. And I was like, you're a horrible parent.
I'm a horrible or really cool?
And then the mom walked in. I'm like, are you the mom of all these? And she said, well, some of them. And I was like, you must have it's like a Monty Python sketch where babies are just dropping out of you. But the parents loved it, and the kids luckily didn't have a lot, a lot of the stuff I talked about, they didn't have a clue.
They were
thank
traumatized
goodness.
For life.
But of course, yeah, that's what I said. You can work this out in therapy, boys. Because they were all boys, too. So it was just here I am talking about my girly bits and all this kind of stuff. And
I would have loved parents to take me along to something like your show.
Yeah, well,
they were
very liberal, that's for sure. And they apparently, afterwards, I had all the kids around me. It was like a Christmas photo. toe, you know, with me in the middle and all the kids around me, and they wanted a photo and stuff like that. So obviously the parents didn't mind that I was saying all these words to their kids.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was my fiance and my tech guys were killing themselves laughing because obviously as I'm going into some material, I was just like, I'm not looking at you boys. I'm not looking at you.
Yeah, because right in the front row, hard not to. And those are the ones that you always, are those the ones you target too?
Yeah,
you target?
Well, I just, you know, try to be as engaging as possible than looking at these little angelic faces. I was like, oh,
do I corrupt them now?
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, oh, well, not my problem. You came into my house on this one.
Yeah,
it's not
yeah.
like I should have
let the child psychologist work it out.
Yeah, exactly. Like that
so what, you probably get this question a lot, but what brought you to decide you were going to be a funny woman as a career?
Yeah, I actually had no idea what stand-up comedy was. As a child, I knew I wanted to be an actress. It was just something, I grew up watching American sitcoms, I loved to laugh, so I just associated that with acting. And my parents got divorced when I was like 5 and a half, 6 years old. And my dad kind of looks like Robin Williams a little bit. So I used to watch Mork and Mindy and you know, sitcoms that he was on. And it sort of was my association to my dad because my dad used to make me laugh. And I think I get my sense of humor from the paternal side of the family. And I am very adventurous. I try to do as many touristy things when I'm in a new country. So that lends itself to material and usually some sort of, you know, chaos ensues with me, but that's, you know.
That sounds like a stunt woman.
I'm still living to tell the tale. I had an interesting experience swimming with the dolphins last week.
Oh, wow.
They tow you behind the boat with ropes and buoys, and getting me into a wetsuit is difficult anyway, and I don't have a lot of movement when I'm in a wetsuit. And then they slid me off the boat first. I was trying to hold onto the rope, but I can't make a fist, so I was sliding through my hand. I was trying not to let go. So I grabbed onto one of the first buoys, and I started drowning. I had my snorkel and everything
filled
up with water. And they tell you to wave for help, but the problem is this is me swimming and this is me waving. And so, eventually they finally figured out. I wasn't coming up very frequent, so that my snorkel was under the water. So they came to rescue me.
So I guess I couldn't say it was an enjoyable experience.
Well, it was absolutely phenomenal. Once
how
we
were the dolphins
the kinks.
Anyway?
Yeah,
how were they?
Decided later that instead of me holding onto the ropes, I would just go onto the edge of the boat, and the guy would reach over the edge and just hold the back of my wetsuit, and just I'd put my face in the water, and then the dolphins were just swimming underneath me.
And were they okay? The dolphins they
fantastic.
Behaved.
It was amazing. Down to Sorrento, and we swam with the seals as well.
Oh, cool.
And they're like right there and they're fighting and they're jumping and they're it was amazing.
Wow, you put yourself out there.
Yeah.
Danger woman.
Hi, I'm Tanya Lee Davis and you're listening to Joy 94.9.
Perfect. Awesome. Now, I want to ask you, too, are you a science fiction fan or a horror film fan?
Not a horror film.
No?
Science fiction, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I like the whole Star Wars thing and I Game of Thrones. Really into that. So.
Oh, new season starts.
I know.
Are we looking forward to who comes back, if they come back?
As long as they don't kill Peter Dinklage off, I'm a happy girl.
Oh, of course. Is that one of the reasons you watch
it?
Well,
I mean,
say?
You know, that's just an extra bonus. And he's sort of like the guru of the little people. He's just an amazing actor, and
isn't he awesome?
He just apparently just hosted Saturday Night Live, big famous sketch show in America.
That's huge.
The first little person to ever host it, and it was last Saturday, so I've yet to watch it online. So I'm looking forward to catching up.
That's fantastic.
He's very particular on the roles he picks. He will not take anything that is demeaning or derogatory. He's a classically trained actor, and he. Is very picky, and he can be because of
he's in that position.
You know.
It's wonderful. And we love him as Lannister. HBO have done so well. Yeah. I think one of my favorite characters for sure. Death at a funeral.
He was the dead guy's partner, right?
His lover, secret lover. perfect. Look, thank you so much for speaking to us here on Joy 94.9. Tanya Lee Davis, and good luck with the show.
Appreciate it. Thank
actual
you.
Size. Thank you. Yes, that was the awesome Tanya Lee Davis, Canadian by origin and doing it thinking of moving from North Carolina, where she lives currently with her partner, heading to the UK, where she said also in the interview there was a lot more work opportunities in a way, even though very conservative, the British audiences. They often didn't know where to look when she would come on stage and present herself and perform. But she loves to take the piss out of people and throw it in their face, literally. And she's certainly done a lot for many people that are, of course, small stature people. Excellent. It was great to talk to her, and you can catch her, of course, at this year's International Melbourne International Comedy Fest. Yeah, playing up until, let's see, it goes for, I've got the date here somewhere if I can dig it out and about. This is when it's fun to be working alone. Yeah, look, it's running till the 17th of April. So it's at the Upstairs Lounge at Little Sister. You can just jump online and go to the Melbourne International Comedy Fest to find out more. And yeah, we'll be speaking to Nina Conti too. We were very lucky to chat to her. So remember, if you're going to go and see anything and you can recommend anything at this year's International Comedy Fest, let me know. 0427 Joy 949 or on air at joy.org.au. And yeah, looking forward to that indeed. It's going to be quite a year. It's their 30th as well, 30th anniversary. Just amazing. Now, don't forget, the Melbourne Queer Film Festival's on as well. It's still going, still pumping. And Girls Lost, or Podgorica, which is Clayton Wimshurst's favourite, is playing this Friday the 8th. Okay, so we've had it play on Monday. It's got one more session, Friday the 8th of April at 2:30 p.m. Interesting time, but I think a lot of young people could catch that. And certainly if you do like something that mixes up the genders, makes you question things, with a science fiction element in there and a great Swedish soundtrack, that's the one for you. Girls Lost, also known in Swedish as Porskana. Three girls doing interesting things with a plant. I won't talk about that anymore. We chatted about it last week. We've also got Sisters of the Plague, which is a very mysterious, witchy kind of film of supernatural elements in it. And that too is playing very soon. It's got one session only, this Saturday the 9th of April at late time, 10:15 p.m. at ACMI. Sisters of the Plague, it is an Australian premiere. And last week we forgot to say the director's name. It's Jorge Torres, and I loved it. I have to say I gave it quite a high rating, if you remember last week's show. And if you don't remember last week's show, you can always podcast it. Just head to joy.org.au for all our podcasts and just put Sci-Fi and Squeam in there. There's a whole bunch there. Only about 316. That's all. Podcast editors. Also, You're Killing Me. That's another one at McQuiff this year, and a real little delight, I thought. Now, it is playing as well this Friday, the 8th of April. Lots happening this Friday night. That's at ACMI at 10:30 p.m. for the grown-ups. So it's You're Killing Me. It's an LGBTIQ slasher film, one could say. A bit of a comedy of errors, I think, would be the genre. Lots of blood and guts, and we like it like that. And that's by, goodness, I've forgotten the name of the director. That's good, Sonia. Good on you. Jim Henson, that's right. Not Jim Henson. No, it's Jim Henson, not Jim Henson. We won't even think about Muppets again like last week. And it's also written by Jeffrey Self. So it's considered to be mumble gore. How's that? Mumble gore. Only on Sci-Fi and Squeam do you get that. On Joy 94.9. Up next, Nina Conti.
Kia ora, this is Taika Waititi, and you are listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94. Is there a dot in there?
Yes,
just
point.
94.9. Kia ora, this is Taika Waititi, stuntman, actor, director, lover, friend, confidant, shoulder to cry on. You're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
I'm okay. I knocked over a lamp. I'm just trying.
Oh, to... over a lamp. Okay.
I'm just trying to find.
Any reason?
Away from all the mayhem.
Oh,
okay, I'm good. I'm good.
It's not like one of those rock star hotel things, is it? You're not going to throw the lamp out the window next, are you?
No, I promise. Okay, I'm sorry. You have my full attention now.
Okay.
So you do like a horror show. That's
yes,
fun.
Yes, I know. Yeah. It is horrifying at times.
Nice.
Yes, I'm actually doing a review for a film, and it's called Goodnight Mummy. Gives you a lot of ideas. It's about two identical twin boys who don't believe their mother is the same woman that she used to be when she comes back from having surgery. I think it's plastic surgery.
Oh, spooky.
And it's Austrian. And so, perfect.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll do the intro. We'll stop talking about that.
All right. Ready.
This is Sonia here on Joy 94.9, and it's my delight to introduce to you, the listener out there, Nina Conti. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Excellent. And, of course, talking to you because you're here in Melbourne, even though you're on the phone with me, you're here in Melbourne doing something called In Your Face, part of the Melbourne International Comedy Festival.
Yeah.
How awesome is that?
It's really fun. It's a very nice venue as well, in the Arts Centre. I like it very much.
Yeah.
And I'm doing an improvised show, which is really fun for me, very different every night, based on the audience, on which I put masks on the audience, just on their lower face, and make them talk and make them say dumb stuff.
It's an amazing, really fun ride.
I know. I don't want to sound too much like I'm blowing my own trumpet when I say how fun it is, but it's so fun for me.
I know.
I've been using puppets for years, talking to these latex things. I'm humans.
Mm.
Well, I'm still talking to myself, but at least it appears more like I've got friends.
And it's kind of exploitative, but in a really funny way.
I tried it really lovingly, you know. I'm really, like, the more kind of yoga I am about it, the funnier it is, you know. I mean, actually, the more I put into play all that kind of trying to breathe into the skin of someone else and imagine how they're feeling, that actually is much more funny than exploiting them and making them do really crazy stuff.
Yeah,
like just saying what you think it looks like they're thinking with their eyes and the way they're standing and
their body movements.
Yeah, just to like try and match that works well.
It's very funny. Where did you come up with the idea of the puppet mask, you know, thing that goes on the face? How did that
come
about?
Well, they've been used by ventriloquists since the 50s, or maybe even, God knows, before that. But I didn't use them for a while because there were other ventriloquists using them and it felt just a bit derivative.
Mm.
But, to do a show that's so ambitious and, improvisational, then I suddenly thought, actually, no, that's bringing something new and using multiple masks, and people are now controlling their own masks and they're all wandering around the stage, you know, autonomously, and I'm throwing words into their mouths from a distance, that kind of thing. Yeah, that's all just grown from doing it more and more.
No, I mean, it seems so simple and yet it's pure genius, really. It's pretty amazing.
Well,
I love it.
Thank you. It's not genius, but it's good fun. It's a really fast route to big laughs, it seems.
Because it's a great mix there of, you know, having fun with your audience, the volunteer thing where people get, you know, up on the stage and they seem to be happy to do that. And then they seem to be even happier to lose control over themselves, you know, and have someone controlling that. It's kind
I guess it's a kind of a forced liberation. Or maybe it's like how you see people behaving when they do, stage hypnosis.
Yes, yeah.
You know when someone that eats an onion or pretends they can't find their finger when they're counting up to 10, that kind of thing, you know that's not real, you know. They are pleasing an audience is what they're doing. And that's kind of the same as what's happening here.
Mm.
They do one movement, everyone loves it, and they go, oh, my God, they love me when I do that. So they do it again, and it sort of leads them further.
Yeah, it's leading them astray, but it's or leading them to become, part of the routine, which is ideal. I mean, for you, I mean, you're getting something new every night as well as the audience.
Yeah.
So how
cool
is that?
Yeah.
But we all know you too because you've been here a few times now, I think, for the International Comedy Fest, and with your friend Monkey.
Mm-hmm. He's still there.
He's still there, yeah.
Yeah.
But he's taking more of a back stage now. You know, he's not so prevalent in your show. Is there something, is that something new that you wanted to bring to that relationship, or...?
I think I will never get rid of that monkey. Right. I mean, I swear to God, I'm going to be buried with him. Oh. It's like a, it's this crazy thing now that I have this monkey. Mm. And I mean, he is still very much in the show, kind of as the introduction to the show. And he's like the casting director of the show.
Oh, is
and
he? I didn't know.
His voice is still stronger than mine and all that sort of thing. You know, I guess he is the real me. So that's all kind of, that's never going to go away, I'm afraid. I think I'm very, very stuck with that, unless I become him.
That's beginning
that,
to happen.
Like,
too,
side to my
it?
Character is not going to disappear. But it's, yeah, I mean, puppets in general are not the main thing in this show, but I would still say Monkey's a pretty strong character in it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Do you think he would ever consider going off on his own, you know, doing his own stuff?
Yeah, well, I guess you're asking me, would I ever consider going off on my own and doing and being Monkey full-time? Would I want to be Monkey
that?
Full-time?
Yes, would you?
Yes.
Didn't you do it for 6 weeks? You had to wear Monkey? I mean, have Monkey on your
that
hand?
That was just a spoof, and it just amazes me that people thought that was real. The comments on that video, I just cannot believe they thought that I took him to the gynecologist and stuff. But, yeah, I did get a glimpse through filming that little sort of taster of what it might be like to have him on full-time, and it would be really hard work.
It would really be very hard work.
But in terms of a show, to do a show as Monkey without Nina, yeah, I think, I mean, yeah, definitely, that would be good. I'm Nina Conti, and you're listening to Joy 94.9.
That's beautiful. Thank you. Yay. Here on Sci-Fi and Squeam, we spoke to Nina Conti earlier today, actually, from her hotel room, where she got tangled up in a lamp. Here I was thinking she was trying to do a Rolling Stone and throw a lamp out the window with a TV. But no, alas, I think she's just a busy woman, indeed, and very talented. And, of course, Tom Conti's daughter. Yes, I fangirled over that one. And the thing is, why am I playing this piece of music in the background? Haha. Ryuichi Sakamoto. It's the wonderful soundtrack to a fabulous and moving and deeply, deeply and feeling intense film called Merry Christmas, Mr. Lawrence, starring the one and only the great and the late beautiful David Bowie, and of course also stars the musician and artist Ryuichi Sakamoto, who made this wonderful piece of music. And of course, Nina knew David Bowie. How's that? I'm dropping so many names here, I need a half brush and shovel to sweep them up off the floor. That's how bad I am at the moment. I apologise, but in any case, it was fantastic to talk to her. She spoke about David Bowie, but you'll have to wait next week for the next instalment, because I'm going to put it in a very special little interview for a show on Monday nights at 9 p.m. called Broad, or as the Americans call it, they call it Broad. Yes, so Broad is on at 9 to 10 with my wonderful co-hosts. We had our first show last night with Lauren Stardust and the wonderful Rose Valour. Now it will be podcast later in the week. So there you go. Two shows, one woman and two other women, and wow, just busy times. So you'll hear more of Nina next week. And don't forget, you can go and see her in your face. She's the winner of Best Female TV Comic at the 2014 British Comedy Awards. She's won a Barry, and that's a big deal, at the 2008 Melbourne International Comedy Fest, right here in Melbourne. She's nominated for a BAFTA in 2013, can't even speak properly, and she's been a host at the Apollo, which is really a funny thing. I mean, it's one of the funniest things you can be hosting after Saturday Night Live, and who knows, that could happen for her. So anyway, she's definitely worth catching. Her show runs till the 10th of April. A few more days to go. Just head to the Melbourne International Comedy Fest online to find out more. Lots of stuff happening in Melbourne town, the town of festivals, and now really pretty much the town that doesn't close. So if you're a vampire like me, hey, it's pretty cool. Melbourne's open almost all the time. You're listening to Sonia here on Joy on Sci-Fi and Squeam.
Hi, this is Essie Davis from the Babadook, and you are listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
langen Abend gute Nacht mit Rosen bedacht, mit Näglein besteckt, schlüpf unter die Deck. Morgen früh, wenn Gott will, wirst du wieder geweckt. Morgen früh, du wieder geweckt. Liebe Freunde, danke schön. Es war gut, euch zu sehen, dass wir uns so gut verstehen. Dafür, Freunde, danke schön. Kommt auch gut heute nach Haus, bis wir uns wiedersehen. Ist es heute auch aus, mit euch war's wunderschön.
I think that's enough of the lovely Francine Jodi with Gute Nacht. Yes, part of Brahms' lullaby series, and of course, in German, of course, it should be. Das Gut, I'd like to dedicate that to Hans-Peter Frohoff, who is somewhere in the north where it's getting warmer. Here it's getting colder on Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9. Why are we playing German lullabies? And in fact, Austrian ones, to be exact. This is, Johannes Brahms, a Wegenlieder, Gute Nacht. Because we're talking about Ixe, that's German for Goodnight Mummy. I mentioned it earlier in the show, a 2014 Austrian horror film written and directed by a woman, Veronica Franz, and a man, Severin Fiala. And like I said, it was one of the films chosen by Austria as part of their, you know, introduction to their art to the rest of the world at the 88th Academy Awards of 2016. Look, it's taken a couple of years for the film to do the rounds, but the talk and all the attention is certainly worth it. This is a film where if you blink, something might get in your eye. You've got to be careful there. What is it about Goodnight Mummy? Well, like I said, it's an Austrian fable, one could say. And basically, we see a mysterious woman returning from somewhere. She's been away, undergoing cosmetic surgery, as it turns out, facial surgery. It's played by Suzanne Vast. She is the mother, or mummy. Yes, of course, it's an American spelling, M-O-M-M-Y. And her two twin boys. Yes, in an isolated lake house, by a lake, of course, their 10-year-old twin boys, Elias and Lucas, played by twins Elias and Lucas Schwartz. There you go. Look, this is a very interesting film, definitely. And if you do like things like Orfanato, or The Orphanage, produced by Guillermo del Toro, you may indeed get a thrill out of this. There are twists, there are turns. But most of all, there's the relationship between two very close twin boys. I know identical twins do have a close friendship and relationship as such. Having been friends with twins myself, identical ones, you can certainly see the connection, the very special close connection that happens. And the film starts off with these two boys in the cornfield, like Children of the Corn, a little bit like that, but an Austrian version maybe. And it's very mysterious. They sort of finish each other's sentences when they do talk. They play with each other. You know, they sort of mimic and act, reflecting each other. Very much twin relationships. And there's a lot of outdoor scenes because they are living close to nature. by the lake there. So then, of course, Mummy comes back, and Mummy is changed. Her head is fully bandaged. The swelling is starting to show underneath the bandages themselves, but she's hiding something. We're not sure what, but she is hiding something. And there's some definitely creepy moments when Mummy is pretending to be asleep, and her little boys go to say goodnight to her, Gute Nacht, and she's not actually asleep. She's wide awake, but her eyes are closed. Things escalate, things do happen, spoiler. But basically, I guess these little boys have decided that's not their mummy. And she takes the bandages off, and they're looking for a sign that if she is the real mother, she should have a certain, yes, that's right, a certain mark on her face. Without spoiling it too much, there is a lot of mystery in this film, and a lot of dread, and a lot of the feeling of something's just off key, something's just not right. A little bit like this music by Olga Inouyev. This is called Torsion. I guess that's tension. And this is the music that plays through the film. So a little bit like Sisters of the Plague, where audio and sonic sounds enhance the film, along with the empty open landscapes, very similar. You get this feeling of oppression that something's just really off kilter. You can't figure it out, but you're just amazed and drawn in, especially with the wonderful performance by the two twin boys. I was really blown away by this film. I was looking forward to it. I know it's done the rounds in certain selected festivals. It's not having a wide release. I said earlier it's going straight to DVD and Blu-ray. That's kind of unfortunate, but hey, that's cool. We will be giving away some copies in a couple of weeks. I'll also be talking to the directors very soon, so we'll hear more from them and what they think of the film. So I'm not going to spoil it too much. I'm just going to say if you get a chance to see it, it's definitely worth it. And there are some really icky moments. Let me just say two words. Superglue. All right? Bandages, superglue, electrical tape, and 10-year-old boys who feel their mother's been stolen by something. It is super creepy, this film. As I said, directed by Veronica Franz and Severin Fiala, produced by Ulrich Seidel. It's also written by Veronica and Severin. It stars Suzanne Weist and twin boys in real life, Elias Schwartz and Lucas Schwartz. Music by this woman here, you can hear, Olga Inouyev. Lot of atmosphere. Cinematography, marvellous cinematography by Martin Geschlecht. Edited by Michael Palm. And it came out in Venice Film Festival way back in August of 2014. It's taken all this time. It's only 100 minutes, so it's not too long and painful. It's Austrian with the German language, made only 1.2 million at the box office, but I'm hoping that perhaps the DVDs it will do better. It's, I'm giving this film, Goodnight Mummy, I'm giving it an 8 out of 10 or a 4 out of 5. It's mysterious and much, much more. But like I said, if you like twin movies like Sisters, and if you like Sweetie, and if you like, I don't know, if you can think of any other creepy films with twins, you're going to love this film indeed. This is Sonia for Sci-Fi and Scream. Coming up very soon, we've got a new show in town. It's Behind the Curtain with Colin. So don't go away. This is Joy.
Salve, I am Claudio Simonetti, the Goblin keyboard player, and you are listening to Sci-Fi and Screen on Joy 94.9.
This is Sci-Fi and Scream, finishing off with a little bit of Allegiant. Yes, it's due out, I was going to say this Thursday, but I mean next Thursday, the 14th of April. And of course, look, there's plenty we could say on it. I might save it for a rainy day when we'll look a bit closer at YA or young adult fiction. I think that's only fair. In the meantime, if you want to find out more about it, there are a plethora of loads of young adult fiction of the supernatural persuasion from, from, of course, the originals Twilight, that really broke the box office and broke the mold for books to cinema, I think. If you have an opinion, you can always let us know. Just head on to the Twitterverse at Queer Geeks of Oz or look us up on Facebook. So, yes, up next is Colin with a new show, Behind the Curtains, and we'll take you out with a bit of Allegiant. Anyway, I just want to say thanks for listening to tonight's show. We'll podcast this later in the week if all goes well. And don't forget, Supernova's coming up next weekend. Also, Stranger by Face. It collides the same weekend from the 14th to the 17th of April down in Tasmania. We'll have more information about that next week, and maybe we'll get to chat to the people running it. We've done that before. It's a Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy, and good night, or gute Nacht, everybody. Schlüpf unter die Decke.
ish gange auf so berat küst wie's mir geht. Jetzt vermissen ich dich so fest wie noch nie und ich bin ganz allein in dem grossen Haus, denn du hast mich verlassen, wo die meisten haben.
Of Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. Check out joy.org.au/sci-fi and scream for more.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.